Welcome to the Man Up Podcast.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
A spiritual oasis for men. We're not pastors, just regular guys.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
So, for the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men, this is Man Up.
That's right, and welcome. This is the Man Up Podcast, podcast number 126. Hard to believe, and it's 125 more than I expected. So we're glad you're here. And where is here? Here is Sugarland, Texas. And so grab a globe, spin it around, bang! With a little bit of luck, you'll be in Texas. Southeast corner of Texas is Houston, H-Town, and that's right, it's still baseball season for us here. Woo-hoo! And the southwest side of H-Town is Sugarland, and that's where we are. This is Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men. We're not pastors, we're just regular guys, except we did get a guest pass to Pastor Larry Post, and he's here. What we do here is we come alongside you and talk about faith things that you just can't talk about anywhere else, especially in this climate. We basically do essentially a Sunday school lesson, and then we get some fellas here, and we have a panel discussion. What's great about this podcast, as opposed with others, vast majority of podcasts make you wait to listen to the end, but we understand everybody's busy, and this is geared for men, and we understand that not everything you're interested in or necessarily speaks to you. We are each on our own spiritual journey, and these guys, what we do is we go through this Bible lesson, we do a summary first. And you may get it all in the summary, but then we go ahead and we read the scripture, and then we dig deeper into it and have deeper discussions. Sometimes peel back layers of the onion, and you never know where that's going to go and end up. So, and without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce the panel that we have here. And he is a world-class trainer for a Fortune 100 company. We call him the professor. It's Robert Koshu is here, and we have an attorney. He's also a prosecutor, so he could defend you or he could throw the book at you. It is the judge, Michael Cropper, is here.
Thank you.
Yay! And we also have he was a finance guy at one time, but got called by God to be a pastor. It's Pastor Larry Post is here on a guest pass, so very glad Larry's here as well. And he is a world-class policy writer. He's also a bit of a professional gambler. Mr. Steve Titch is here. And my name is Bill Cox, and I am basically a sales guy, kind of a writer and actor kind of deal. And I am the host of Man Up ABF, which is Adult Bible Fellowship, which is basically a Sunday school class for men. And that's where we get these lessons from. And we're in the Connect 360, which is by Baptist Way Press. And what we have been doing is we have been doing the Ten Commandments. And I've been in church basically my whole life. I know of the Ten Commandments. I have never, up until this point, actually really studied them. So I thought that this would be kind of just a boring kind of discussion, man, but it has been anything but. And it's not going to be tonight either. And I'll go ahead. We're going to start out with basically a basic summary or overview of the lesson. Start out with Mr. Steve Titch.
Yes, I'd like to begin by saying we are discussing the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. And we're going to talk about sex and sexuality. This is a podcast where we keep things tasteful, but if you've got young kids in the car, you're traveling to soccer practice, you may want to pause it because, well, we're going to talk about things, again, you don't hear in church. But this is all about adultery and sexuality, God's gift of sexuality. And in line with this, I'm kind of got a smile because when our pastor of education sent around notes for this lesson, one of the first questions he posted for discussion was, is this commandment only for young people? And sure enough, if you're a youth, this you hear a lot about this commandment in youth groups and youth Bible studies. You hear almost nothing about it after you go to, you know, after you grow up, you're out and you go to your adult Bible studies, adult Sunday school. So we're going to turn that on its head here, and that's then we'll get into that a little later. But that
is very insightful.
Did you look up the Hebrew definition of adultery?
I knew somebody would.
Pastor Post, your basic overview of today's lesson.
Well, we'll save the Hebrew definition for the detail side. But yes, I do have it. Okay. But last week we talked about the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," and we said, well, on the surface that seems to be fairly straightforward, but it turns out to be very complex.
Yeah, it was.
Well, it's good this one's not complex. Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Right.
But then there's those little nasty things like pornography and homosexuality and fornication and other things that
he used all the bad words, Bill.
That we will talk about maybe later on. So it really gets complicated pretty quickly.
Very solid. You know what? This is the No Church Answers Tour, and I think Larry is finally getting away from the Church Answers
Tour.
He is catching on.
He used all the bad words.
That's right. That's right.
Just wait.
Right. Judge.
Yes. Adultery, very basically, when we look at the Bible definition of it, and this is not the Hebrew definition, the very basic Bible definition is one spouse having sex with someone else that is not their spouse. So it deals specifically with marriage relationship, the very basic definition of it. And in the Old Testament, if a woman who was married had sex with another person that was married or not married, it was a very, very bad thing. But it wasn't so bad if you were a married man and you had sex with an unmarried woman. Talk about discrimination, but that's the way it was. That's the way it was looked at in the Old Testament.
Or even another woman that was married. It was still not that bad of a deal.
It wasn't. Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's
double discrimination.
All right. So anyway, Pastor Post talked about ways that you can look at that may be a problem to marriages and how you might commit adultery, and included homosexuality, I'd say prostitution, fornication, even open marriages, swingers. All this is available. You can look at it on the internet, which is one of the problems in our world today that makes temptation so great. If you're in a happy marital relationship, you can be tempted if you let your mind or you look at these things and it distracts you to the point you focus on them, folks. The perfect examples, you see The Bachelor and The Bachelorette series where the couples regulate one of their dates is going to bed with each other and coming up the next morning and explaining the situation or providing information about it. This is so, everything around us pushes us to imagine that there is a greater relationship than we have with our spouse, no matter how much we love them.
Well put. That's a good point.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm open.
Are you done?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rob.
And so before I start my thing, I'm saying we're missing Kyle Trahan, the deacon. He is off in true man up fashion. He is working in the Dallas area for the next 3 weeks. But in true man up fashion, he's actually camping while
I know,
work.
That's what we said last week. Unbelievable.
He's in my trailer. we negotiated a very good rent deal for both of us. My trailer hadn't been out in 8 years. He needed a trailer, so my rent was take it and clean it.
Right. Wow.
So it's more than that. We're encouraging it that sex is no different than going and buying a Coke and drinking it. And it's
not. Yeah, but
not.
If you don't like Cokes.
Yeah, well, or tea, I mean, or water.
They glamorize the Coke, right, Robert?
It is literally, we have trivialized sex, that it's just something you do, and it's bodily function, and it doesn't care. You want to have sex with another woman, that's fine. You want to have sex before you're married. Oh, hey, that's okay. You want to have two girls want to have sex, that's perfectly fine. I will address that before we really kick off. Let me, if you don't mind, after you read, come back to me. Just, I want to do a level set. if you want to have sex with a guy, that's okay. Hey, if two guys and two girls want to go to bed all together, that's okay too. And, you know, to the point that we've trivialized it, that there are certain segments of society that view pedophilia as a quote-unquote normal thing that can happen. And that is sex between a man and a young woman, or a older woman and a young man.
An adult and a child.
Thank you, Steve. But there are segments of society that view that as normal because we have started down the slippery slope of trivializing sex. And so we've gone to that extreme as we've done that.
Well, let me, one more thing, right quick. But I think the way we've presented it is that it's an explosively rewarding thing to do. And visual, it's very visual. Mm-hmm. It captivates our imagination. It captivates mm-hmm. our fantasies. You're right, and we've trivialized it. But on the other hand, we've made it look, appear as though it's something.
Well, we've trivialized, we've made the act normal in that you should, it's just like eating, you've got to do it. You do it however you want it, you do it whenever you want it, you do it with whatever you want. And we've trivialized it to that point. But, you know, but at the same time.
So we're selfish.
Right. And we've, yeah, I have a whole statement that will totally set everyone on end, and I'll go ahead and say it. This is your 3-second warning for your children. 1, 2, 3. I will tell you right now, after working with teenagers for over 30 years, and at the same time having lots of discussion with teenagers, that all teenage premarital sex is mutual masturbation, no matter what they do, because all they care about is the other side of it. So I just went total no church answers on us.
Wow. And you know, my name is Bill Cox, and I'm the host of this risque discussion. And I don't believe in adultery, because it's bad enough I disappoint my wife. I don't want to disappoint anybody else. But, you know, you want some super sex? Yeah, I'll take the soup. But the thing about this particular you shall not commit adultery, this commandment is, I think particularly us in the West, we take our freedoms seriously and our individualism to the extreme. And therefore we feel that our freedoms are not only the inalienable rights of our government, but the rights over our own bodies. So it's not only our thought, but it's our own bodies. That's our inalienable right to be selfish. And so that's why we've taken it that much farther. And so with that, this is the overview of what we're going to get into, and as long as I'm on a roll with this Charlton Heston.
I like the Charlton Heston.
So I'm going to do this.
Are you reading the text for us?
I'm reading the text. You shall not commit adultery. That's commandment number 7. So, and with that, I'm going to go ahead and, Professor, let's
I want
back
a level
to
set.
Professor.
So, okay. That much like we did for Honor Your Mother and Father, I want to just do a very, very quick level set, and I don't want to delve off into it like we did with the mother and father. We are here to say this, and you just heard me go total non-church answer on you, and I think we all did, actually,
yes,
on this one.
Pretty much.
But I do want to make this statement for whether you are involved in pornography, whether you are involved in a same-sex relationship, if you are a member of the LGBTQ, quit adding letters, I can't keep up, community, or if you are even just living together, before you are married or engaged in a premarital sex relationship. God still loves you. You are still valued as an individual. And your sin is actually no worse than the sins I commit on a daily basis as we go through. And I want that level set before we really, I want to make sure our listeners hear us, that you are still loved by God. You know, we will welcome you into our fellowship. We will not in any shape, form, or fashion affirm your sin or say it's okay for you to do it. Can you come here? Yeah, because you know what? You don't take your car to the garage when it's working. You take your car to the garage when it's broken. And all of us are broken lives before God. And we all deserve to have that chance to have God's love. And you're only going to find that in a place like this. Yeah. And so,
great,
that being said, let's kill all!
That's the way to go, Professor. Well, in my own basic philosophy, although it's much shorter than the professor's, is this. The reason why we do this podcast is we're looking for better days. We're looking in the future. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is we're correcting our past. We're not changing it, but we're looking towards the future, and we're working to be better. And so that's the whole idea behind this podcast. So, Mr. Steve, would you like to jump off on...
Okay. the issue here is what is our response to the culture right now? And you guys have laid it out pretty well. And it's the problem is sex has been commodified. Sex has been devalued. Much we talked about last week, we talked about the way life was developed. Sex and marriage, and let's put this in the adultery context, so sex and marriage have been devalued. Absolutely. Marriage is part of the throwaway culture. You don't work on your marriage anymore. And I'm not saying there are problem marriages, and we can get into that because divorce is part of this whole thing to begin with. But marriage, if we read the Bible, it's pretty clear that sex in all its glory, all its pleasure, a gift from God, a gift to be enjoyed, a gift that brings pleasure to the man and the woman is correct and right in the context of a marriage. And the problem is that you take it out and there are problems with it. The thing that gets into the way the church approaches this, and it gets very dicey. Now we were talking about this before the podcast. The author of our guidebook spends a heck of a time on homosexuality and same-sex marriage and same-sex promiscuity, and that's kind of the problem. And it's an interesting point, but the church seems to draw an arbitrary line there. Our church has asked people in gay relationships to leave. As far as I know, we welcome and accept members who have divorced and remarried, mm-hmm. which is, there's also a strong injunction. Jesus himself speaks about that. We tolerate people who are either living together or who are basically are having sex but are not married. We don't ask too many questions about that. So the point is where do we have the right to say, okay, you guys are all in, and it's okay, we'll overlook that, but no, we're going to draw, you two guys, nope, you can't, you go away, you're not part of it. And, well, I'm going to start with that, because I want to go a little deeper, because I think largely, you know, we got to ask the question, is it really a choice? And the author of the book, basically, that's where he hangs his whole argument on it. He brings up Romans, but in it, in the paragraph, he's on page 82, if you're following, he says, if homosexuality becomes the choice, there are consequences. And what if it's not a choice? So let's talk about the students. What about the idea, are we going to be selective as a church body in tolerating some of these sins of the flesh?
Well, let me tell you where I'll
draw the line at is, I think from a church perspective, coming and attending worship, mm-hmm. no worries. I think, and I am not speaking for our staff in any shape, form, or mm-hmm. quick disclaimer, Sugar Land Baptist Church mm-hmm. does not endorse nor these opinions. This is Roberts, okay? Mm-hmm. I think attending, as I said before, you don't take a car to a broken garage. Attending Sunday mm-hmm. school, once again, where else are you going to go get your car fixed mm-hmm. if you're broken? I want to volunteer to help set up for the barbecue. Since I was part of the barbecue crew, mm-hmm. I'll use that. Please come help. Mm-hmm. Volunteer. Okay. I want to serve in leadership on a committee or teach Sunday school. That's where I have a problem, in particular with a homosexual, someone in a homosexual relationship, an open homosexual, a person who is flagrantly living in sin of a sexual nature, you know, be that having an affair, married, all the other.
Okay, outright infidelity. Right. Well, what about though?
Now,
okay,
let's talk about divorce.
Oh, let's finish. Okay.
Because I am going to finish with divorce. Okay. I think each divorce is viewed very separately and very independently. And I think there is no blanket way to look at divorce because I've been in churches that if you were divorced, you couldn't be a deacon, you couldn't serve on Sunday school. You couldn't be on church staff. We wouldn't let you do anything except just attend because you had divorced.
Yes.
I think you have to look at when did the divorce occur, because the first thing I'll tell you is that the divorce occurred before that person became a Christian. Whatever. Yeah, I mean, seriously, does that make sense? You didn't know you weren't supposed to do that, so why am I going to penalize you for that? When you were going through your divorce, then so that one, that's the first, just I don't care, it doesn't matter.
But let me put it this
way.
Let's take that.
Yes,
my divorce happened before I became a Christian,
right?
But I am married to the woman I was unfaithful with that led to the breakup of that marriage.
Once again, you weren't a Christian.
But how do
I think,
but wait, but okay, so and I'm going to let Larry talk. He's got his mouth open. But first of all, and I don't, I'm not, I'm just, I'm just
no,
being,
no, no, no,
being,
yeah,
being
yeah.
literally devil's advocate here. What you said at the beginning was
right.
Fine. A gay person would dispute. Well, I'm going to agree with dispute that he is actually committing a sin,
right,
and that the car is broken. But leaving that aside a bit, what if you take someone, if someone is in a gay relationship,
mm-hmm.
and feels a calling, and let's take that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't force the guy who divorced his wife to marry his girlfriend.
Right.
You don't force him to end that relationship.
Right.
If I'm reading right, you're going to force the gay guy to end his relationship.
See,
no, but it doesn't hurt to tell him it's not a good, it wasn't
yeah,
a good thing.
Yeah, see, I think
it doesn't hurt to tell
I think him it depends on where, when it occurred. I really
mm-hmm.
do with divorce. Homosexuality is very clearly defined as
mm-hmm.
a sin. Leviticus, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Corinthians. I mean, it's pretty
mm-hmm.
much. Yeah,
it's cut and dried.
Yeah, that part is cut and dried.
Mm-hmm.
Divorce is tricky because in the Jewish world, Jesus said you can only divorce for unfaithfulness. You know, and that
mm-hmm.
was a radical difference because they basically, well, let me rephrase this.
Mm-hmm.
The men, once again, discrimination,
mm-hmm.
had free reign because they could say, I don't want you anymore, wife, here's your divorce papers, leave. Women had no say in it back then.
Mm-hmm.
I really think you have to look at each individual divorce and
mm-hmm.
I think if they go to serve on in a leadership, it is literally there's not a blanket way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
yeah,
point out one thing.
I think that is, okay.
Jesus set some standards, other standards that you cannot attain all the time.
That is totally correct.
He says, if your eye wanders and you think about sex, take out your eye. Do you know anybody that's done that? No. If your hand
are we all guilty and should have done it.
Cut off your, Jesus gave some extremely high standards, and we needed it, and it's to keep our minds straight when we can, because we do stumble from them. The point here is, I'm getting back, this standard of you cannot commit adultery except your spouse cheats, he's setting a standard that may or may not be attainable, because that's what he did. God sent him to set such a high standard, we can't reach him because he's the Son of God. So I want to keep this in mind. Let's be practical. You may divorce for other reasons, and my closing argument here is this. If you cannot maintain your marriage relationship with your spouse, you've tried everything. You've sought the Lord, you've tried counsel, everything.
And that's
don't cheat. Get a divorce first. Okay.
Then, well, and well, I think that's part of. I think that's part of the church. I myself was a little bit convicted by this because I was institutionalized for 8 years, 4 years in the Navy and college. Okay, I made my wife live with me before that we got married, but we attended church, and like Steve said, people are treated differently. We were treated as if we were a married couple, even though we weren't. And so they were going to accept us they accepted us as if we were married already, even though we weren't. We eventually did, though, okay? Totally different from a homosexual relationship that the church would see. It would never become something that was accepted by the church. Okay? I agree with Robert. Love the sinner, hate the sin. I don't have a problem with them here, but as we have had in the past on staff, I'm not crazy about having them at the pulpit in leadership positions when I have children.
Well, your children are looking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Larry's been very patient here.
Larry's been very patient while we
have stopped
and interrupted.
Right. I want to go back to two things.
Okay.
One, Robert, you made a comment in this. You were talking about the different treatment by the in the ancient Jewish world.
Correct.
Of men versus women.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back and give the definition, the Hebrew word definition of adultery.
Here we go.
Church answer.
That's the original language, so it counts.
Yeah,
that matters.
It's the language.
The Hebrew word and its context is no different than what we talked about. What was your? You said that there was two words last in the sixth commandment.
No adultery and no murder.
That's right. No murder. It's exactly the same thing here. It's no naraf. That's the word, and it basically means no adultery. Now, the word, it's interesting, one part of that definition, they're talking about figuratively to apostate, which means to fall away from, committing adultery. Woman that breaketh wedlock is part of that definition. The inherent issue there is that the man was treated, because it was a patriarchal society, was treated differently than a woman. Now, that's the first basis that I want to do. The second one is, what problem are we talking about here? Well, if you go back to Genesis 2, verse 24, this provides the whole basis, the foundation, it says. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's the whole biblical basis for marriage. It doesn't talk about anything other than man and woman joining and becoming one flesh. Take a break and we'll talk about it afterwards.
That's right, and this is Man Up Podcast number 126, Spiritual Oasis for Men. We will be right back.
You are listening to the Man Up Spiritual Oasis for Men podcast. Originating out of Sugar Land, Houston, Texas, USA, it's the faith-based man podcast that women enjoy too. Called authentic, timely, and unexpectedly funny, Man Up has been encouraging and entertaining audiences since 2016 and continues to be one of the fastest-growing shows in its segment. Want to book a speaker, show, or post a comment? Go to Man Up on Facebook or our website, www.man-upspiritualoasis.com. And now, back to the No Church Answers Tour and the Fellows of Man Up.
And welcome back to this Man Up Spiritual Oasis for Men. We're not pastors, except for Pastor Post. We're just regular guys on the spiritual journey. You can find us on iTunes, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, where we archive all of our podcasts. We're also at Man-Up on Facebook, and we have a website called ManUpSpiritualOasis.com. We are in the Ten Commandments, and we are discussing the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. And the subheading of this is how being moral in an immoral world. And the thing about it is, our Sunday school class was taught by a millennial this week about adultery, which was kind of fun because they have a totally different view of this. And it's almost as if it's just another thing, and it's not a big thing.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Where are they, the millennials and that type of that group of people, where are they getting that different perspective?
Well, first of all, I'm going to answer the question some. First of all, if you are joining us halfway through, joined in, I want to remind everyone we are talking about sex and sexuality. So if you're listening to our podcast in your vehicle with your young children and you may not want them to hear these topics, this was your fair warning since we came back from breakfast. A, the culture, and B, interestingly enough, the divorce rate is declining rather significantly at this moment through millennials because millennials saw their parents get divorced. They're an interesting group in a lot of ways. They will leave your company if you insist they work weird hours or long hours, if they don't have flexible schedules, if they don't feel that the company, air quotes, values them. They will walk without having another job even, much, much more than even our generation would have. And most of us are Gen X-ish or a little older sitting here in this room. Their perspectives are coming from their life experiences as part of it. And I think the other part of it is, and we can kind of talk about this, and we've all kind of talked around it, is the way the culture is viewing sex, adultery, homosexuality, and all of this, and we've talked about it, commoditizing, commercializing, absolutely, and trivializing sex. And in reality, I'll be honest with you, I think it's done all three of those to it.
I think it's commercialized
it, commoditized it, and trivialized it.
What's interesting, what some of the backlash is, and I think there's some valid things here to talk about. We hear a lot about the Me Too movement, which is very real, but underneath it, and the thing is, the culture can't come out and say, we want some kind of moral structure. But underneath it, underlying Me Too is a demand for a structure where a woman can go to work, be treated with respect, be treated that she's there to do a job, and not to be someone's sex partner. That fallout came from 30, 40, 50 years of sexual liberation. The expectation, this is where we've gotten. The expectation and is that, man, you know, I can get any woman I want, or everybody who's not, you know, married is, and maybe some are available for sex.
Yep.
And that is, and what we're learning from Me Too isn't so much that, and there's certainly been the abuse that we've seen from the really powerful, but the complaints coming from rank and file women who go to work and there's this this automatic expectation from every guy around them that they're a potential sex partner.
I'm going to interrupt you
and,
for a brief
moment. It does go both ways.
Okay.
I'm not saying there's been right. It's gone one way or another. But what I'm saying, underlying that is a demand for a structure which basically says sex belongs here. And you can say you can say a marriage, you can say a different relationship, but it doesn't belong here. And what this culture has done, it's put sex everywhere. And that's the curveball. That is what, and that's in some ways what guys are trying to deal with. That, yesterday I could ask you for a date. In fact, the boss married his, all those people, and suddenly, yes. But no one wants to call it a return to more, at least, traditional morals. But underneath that, that's really what they're looking for. A structure where sex is put where it belongs and not where it doesn't.
Well, and the funny part is they're looking for a structure that exists and is clearly laid out in a biblical fashion. But nobody wants to admit that or talk about that. And don't bring that up because, oh my God, that's that religion thing. Mm-hmm. And we can't deal with the religion thing because the religion thing, literally, it's going to put us in a box.
Yes.
And women are going to be subjugated to their husbands. And they're going to have to stay home and be barefoot and pregnant. And I and my husband's going to be allowed to lord over me. And it's one of those deals where which are total misconceptions if you literally leave it, because the biblical commands are when it talks about in 1 Corinthians women obey your husbands, there's a commandment right after that that everybody always forgets: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Right.
You know, sacrificial up to the end with it.
So how do we then juxtapose, on the one hand, what we've been talking about for 20 or so minutes here about the trivializing and the commoditization and the normalization and the throwing to the wind of the sexual mores and everything, and then on the following right up with that, what y'all were saying about the Me Too movement as going back to a more traditional relationship. So, I mean, can you see why that society is certainly confused in certain respects?
It's schizophrenic.
It is.
So what we have done purely, and I'm going to go off on my neuroscience tangent for a moment. So when your brain receives inputs that it can't process, it creates something called cognitive dissonance. And so your brain doesn't know what to believe and it doesn't know how to treat things. It's a very bad problem when you're trying to do learning development. We have created cognitive dissonance as a society because we have mixed messages all over the place. You know, I'm allowed to have sex with anyone I want. For God's sake, don't you dare talk to a woman at work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is cognitive dissonance. That's what you were referring to, Steve. And so what we've done is we've created a standard. And there's a very large chunk of the millennials who... I've been amazed watching the last 15 years, and all of us old enough, how many of y'all had dates and girlfriends in high school? Pretty much everybody in here?
Yeah.
Guessing at least one or two? And one of your big goals was always to find, quote unquote, the girl that you wanted to date and when you were in high school or college, and then date them, you know, with the eventual goal of marrying them and moving, right?
Okay. I'm going to be flat out. You sometimes you dated women because you knew you'd get action. There it is.
True.
It is. I dated
a tennis star when I was on swim team, you know, just saying. But
you were raised correctly.
No. She was. She was. But
Yes, sooner or later you begin looking for
the person. You start settling it down. But there were, but I have watched this current group of teenagers, because I have, so fair disclosure, I taught in our youth department in this church for 15 to 16 to 17 years. I'd have to sit and think about it for a minute, but at least 15 years. So I have watched this group grow from dates where you went your with your girlfriend, boyfriend, or whoever, and y'all went out on dates together, to group things, and no one dates anymore. And boys and girls hang out together. And it's created this whole dissonance. That group, I think that group is rebelling against the free sex movement, but at the same time, they're also rebelling against the fixed religious movement, because they view it as outdated, old-fashioned, and really not with it. And they, and in reality, I think there is a certain segment of the population that thinks that all the sexual morals that we had back then created the problems that we have now. Because
so,
they
as a result, where then do they get their moral compass?
Hopefully, if from the church.
But they're rejecting this rigid biblical perspective, on the one hand,
I think they're making it up as they go.
Well,
that's kind of what I'm thinking.
What's the basis for their making it up?
They're getting the what they see, but it is an interesting reaction. Let me ask you about this, because the big thing they talk about among millennials is hookup culture.
Yes,
exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
They hang around in gangs
and chill.
Hang around in groups. I just think hang around in groups, and you know. Joe will hook up with Sally, but there'll be no real emotional commitment. No one, then the next week
Joe hooks up with Susie while Sally hooks up with Kevin.
And no one, there's no drama about it. I guess that's a big one. Isn't there eventually a target in mind that after they're done with all this, they're really going to look to settle down?
Don't know.
You don't know.
I think the judge and jury are still out on them. Other than we're seeing when they do, they tend to stay. Which is kind of an intriguing
now.
Thought
they
process.
Tend to stay. Millennials are just 15 to 19 years old.
No, the millennials
are older.
In their 30s.
Millennials
in their 30s. And the youngest were born in 94.
That helps. So you're seeing good.
Gen Z. I'm going to be more intrigued by what's called Gen Z, which is the group born from 1995 forward. Okay. I'm going to be more interested to see how they react to all of this, because they have grown up with homosexual being "quote unquote" normal in society.
They've been told it was normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I said.
One of the unintended consequences of the Me Too movement. I was talking with my wife about this particular passage that we were going to talk about, and she goes, "When I go out with my girlfriends, they talk about how men just aren't aggressive anymore. Women have to be more aggressive," and that makes perfect sense. And that's exactly what I told her. I go, the things that women will do, like I was at a Walmart and lady said, "Oh, you have young skin." I would never say that to anybody. I just told her, I go, "Thank you. The skin might be young, but I'm not." But the thing about it is, it's like women have to be more aggressive because men wouldn't dare being that way. You can't afford it.
In certain places, yes. But you can't afford it in certain places. This is the whole issue. If, you know, it looks like they, you know, the trouble is the workplace was a good place to meet people.
Well, because
at a certain point, because that's where you did all your work.
Anywhere else.
That's pretty much now being closed off. Whether you like it or not, that's the new reality. Do not go looking for a spouse or a girlfriend or a boyfriend. At your workplace, it's fraught with now legal peril, not just, you know, and so I'm, But so, you know, you're down to, I understand online dating is pretty popular now. You know, the online services, it actually is no longer any stigma attached to
meeting
your spouse online.
Right.
So, and I think there should be whatever, but there used to be.
The defined services.
Defined
online services.
I'm talking about matchmaking things, matchmaking sites. Which I think we had people in our way back when I was in your ABF, Bill. We had at least one guy who used them regularly.
Yeah, we did. That's right.
And so there's nothing. I'm not saying there's anything.
I forgot about that.
But yes, but getting to the point is, it's going to serve. I mean, we're telling young men, yes, just your best if you just keep quiet and look elsewhere. And you know, it has been, I'm going to speak out that it has been a problem. I mean, we get some, just ask your wife what they've dealt with in their time. That's almost normal, and what you're seeing out there is just a push against, you know, I want to come to work, I'm not here to find a spouse. I mean, it's I'm not saying it's not muddy, but as I'm repeating myself, so I'll go off that, and but yeah, that's one of the consequences of this.
Well, this is podcast number 126. We're coming down to the end, and this is You Shall Not Commit Adultery, and so we're going to go around the room one final time and get some last minute thoughts from the guys. But before we do, just want to make sure that. You have the opportunity to find out where we're at. We're on iHeartRadio, we're on iTunes, we're also on SoundCloud. We have a Facebook page, Man-Up. You can post a question, we'll be more than happy to answer it. And doing the Ten Commandments, I know if you're like me, you probably haven't been in church a long time, haven't even really thought much about them. But man, it's been a great discussion. So one final time. And let me start off with the judge. Get your basic takeaway and summary of being moral in an immoral world. You shall not commit adultery.
All right. Real quickly, we didn't talk about this, but all of you have heard it and you thought about it and you know other couples that have gone through divorce. My question, and I still can't quite comprehend it, is how a sex drive can be so powerful that a man would give up everything he has worked for all his life for a few seconds of pleasure, or perceived pleasure, right, guys? I don't know how to say it. It can cost him his wife, his home, his children, his job, his savings, a close relationship to his children, savings, attorney's fees, child support, and alimony. I just made little comments about that. Then
you're discounting the chase. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're talking about the actual mountaintop, the actual act of the adultery being the only prize. Yeah. Some men actually love the fact that that's their way of being out on the edge, living out on the edge, being able to juggle a couple of balls. I mean, at the same time.
So it's being not able just to, a one.
So it's not.
Thing,
it's not.
Right?
Well, it's not just. I mean, yeah. Like the show Cheaters. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Yeah.
Some of those guys are serial cheaters. It's not. It's not just one. They'll be guys that have multiple.
That's right.
There's more of a thrill than just the act of adultery.
No, nonetheless, but your point is well taken. Look what you're risking with it.
Bill hit on one of the many notes. I had tons of notes, just like you guys do on this. And one of it is the thrill. If you're in a marriage relationship and you love your spouse, you're not completely protected from the temptation of this thrill. Steve said it, or Bill said it. If you don't handle yourself correctly, if you put yourself in harm's way, the possibility is there to the happiest married couple, because our marriage of raising and being in love, raising children, paying bills, working every day, what, 40, 50 hours a week, washing dirty clothes is and can be boring.
And hard work. Right.
It's
and
hard work.
Right.
Right. And so you could, and so a certain person comes along, and it, this can be ladies also, certain guy comes along that fits your description of being very exciting and attractive, and then most of the times it's happened with men, a woman comes along that's just dressed just right and talks with you and flirts with you and brings back a certain thrill, great word, or excitement to you that you haven't had since you started dating your right. spouse. And if you dwell on that, man, that can take you away into fantasy land, which will take you away from mm-hmm. the real covenant relationship mm-hmm. that you had with your spouse mm-hmm. if you dwell on it. And Bill said a couple other things we did not really talk about. All the things that can cause adultery or breaking up marriages, but it can go with egotism and mm-hmm. a lot of things where men will and seek the pleasure of an adulterous affair, not caring mm-hmm. what happens to anybody else.
And if you want to see a lot about that from us, go listen to podcast 110 and 111 mm-hmm. on David and Bathsheba.
Right. Yes, right. It's a perfect example.
Pastor Post, your summary of this.
A simple commandment that is very, very complicated, I think. We've talked about all of the attendant circumstances, whether it be adultery or fornication or pornography or homosexuality or mm-hmm. all these things, these bestiality. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we can fall into that will cause exactly what you're talking about. It will be temptations. They will be things that will try to draw us away. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 says, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. And I think that's exactly what we were talking about. That's what God talked about in Genesis 2, that He has designed a man and a woman to become one flesh, and anything that tears us away from that, either emotionally or physically or spiritually, causes this immoral man to sin against his own body.
Excellent. Professor Koshu.
I think it goes down, and we've kind of talked all around this, it goes down to Christianity rejecting selfishness and not conforming to the culture. You know, moving away from what the culture says. And so I'm a glutton, so I'm attending the men's Bible study where we're reading Play the Man. And it's a verse I've heard, and you guys, probably everyone's heard it, Romans 12:2. It's do not conform any longer to the world. The book that we're reading on Play the Man, is the name of the book, actually referenced the New Living Testament translation of the Bible by Mark Batterson. Thank you, Larry. I was trying to remember the name of the author. And that translation translates this verse, Romans 12:2, as do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And I think the world, as we've talked about, has commoditized, trivialized, and commercialized sex. And it's up to us as Christians to point out to the world that sex is actually, if you want to read it really good, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Everybody want to know a little secret? You want a really good sex manual? Go read the Song of Solomon. There's a reason most pastors never preach on it.
We never get that.
You know, go read it and put all that imagery. Mm-hmm. Go read it in a modern translation. You may get a better picture of it. I've actually never done that. But sex is something that is meant to be enjoyed. We used to joke when I was young, and it's, you know, I did attend seminary for a while, and we used to joke too, part of the premarital counseling you had to do with teenagers and young people getting married who had raised in the churches, the command went from thou shalt not to thou shalt often and thou shalt enjoy it. And how do you make that translation between the two? Sex is meant to be between a man and a woman in a marital relationship for the purpose of raising a family and being together. And that's why it was invented. And Steve and I had very long discussions earlier about economics and everything else, proving why that is the best way to raise kids. You know, and that belongs in that. And sex is the glue that can hold a marriage together.
Excellent. Mr. Steve. Yeah,
in line of putting to it what Robert and Mike were saying, you've got to work on your marriage, because it's true. You go to work. Those go to work. You know, generally, you wear your best clothes. You look your best. You're bringing your A game. You're around attractive people. The temptation is there. There is absolutely no question about that. And it's no sin to be tempted. That's the thing. It's what happens when you act on it. On the flip side, yes, you've got to work on your marriage. You can't hang around in your underwear all day. You've got to do things with your spouse. Absent of that, I hear that so often now in the church. Spend time together. You should have romance in your marriage. And you've got to really work to put it there. You've got to, because especially if you have kids, it's the last thing that goes. And that's in some reason why that temptation goes. And why people forget about this, because they're taking what they have at home for granted. The other thing for me to add, and I'm going to come and say it, I remain conflicted about the gay issue. I think this is something, the only thing I can find solace in is not that this is not going to be my church in 20 years. The young people who are up and coming now are going to have to make decisions about it. Our parents kind of got a little more loose on the idea of divorce and remarriage. Last week we talked about the idea that of suicide is being understood in the context of mental illness. I think we're going to have to confront the reality that gay people do not choose same-sex attraction. They it's just part of what is how they were made. And I cannot deny there are biblical injunctions against this, very clear. But we also have Genesis 2:18. It is not good for a man to be alone. We have Romans 2:15, the law is written on our hearts, which of course is quoted from Jeremiah. And quite frankly, and I'm going to put this out there, I know gay people. I have seen fruits of the Spirit much more in abundance from some gay people than I've seen from devoted Christian people who identify as devout, you know, born again Christians. And so I don't know where we'll go. I don't know how God views people who are born gay and create a covenantal marriage relationship. I don't know if such ceremony belongs in the church, but I do know that right now I think we've got to lighten up a bit, especially if we're going to tolerate other forms and other readings in our complex definition of adultery.
Wow. I didn't know that it would be this much, but I'm glad that you're here. My summary is quite simple compared to the fellas here. Believe in yourself. Believe in your decision. There was a reason why you got married. Work hard to stay that way. My name is Bill Cox. The grass isn't always greener on the other side of the fence. I was raised on the farm, and that is absolutely true. This is Man Up, podcast number 126. We're so glad that you were listening. We're on iHeartRadio, of course, iTunes. It's all of our podcasts are archived on SoundCloud. Want to invite each and every one of you, if you're ever in Sugar Land, stop in. This is Sugar Land Baptist Church. We'd love to have you, even in our ABF, Adult Bible Fellowship, Sunday School. Man up, come and visit us. And want to encourage each and every one of you to get involved in a local Bible-based church. Why local? So you'll go, so you'll participate. And find a ABF, adult Bible fellowship or Sunday school class, and look for one that's men only. And if there isn't one, start one. This is Man Up.
You've been listening to Man Up.
You've got answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dedicated to the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You can contact us on Facebook under Man-Up. Post questions, and we'll answer them right here on the Man Up Podcast.